But let's get stuck into our top 10 trade list. So these are the 10 top trade names we'll be really following for the next 3 weeks. We know there is so many potential trades this year, but these are the names that we've come up with that we find the most intriguing. And going on what you were saying there before, it's some of these players are contracted for quite some time at their current club, but yet could still be on the move. Adam Treloar is a fascinating one. Contracted until 2025. We heard him on AFL 360 a few weeks ago where he sort of did, he picked his words pretty carefully, saying, I'm still contracted. But they're just, the feeling is that he won't be at Collingwood next year. What's your read on the Adam Treloar situation?
Yeah, his comments, as you mentioned, were interesting. He's almost letting everyone know his situation, his feelings, without directly giving up too much. So talking about how his contract and how he wants to stay at the footy club. So if anything were to happen, he's put it back onto Collingwood, hasn't he?
So he has.
So the blood will be on their hands. So it's an interesting scenario. And we'll talk about a few other players lately, but this might be a good segue into one of the points I wanted to make about how the climate changed around contracted players and how not only the players themselves are more open to leaving, and but how the clubs are approaching these contracted players. So I find it weird, and it's a hard thing to get my head around of how that climb and how it's changing so quickly. So we talked about maybe started to change about 3 or 4 years ago, because particularly as a player back in, particularly when I was younger, it was, if I was contracted, I was contracted.
There was
really no way about it.
It was black and white.
It was black and white. So if, even if I was a little bit unhappy or, you know, disgruntled, in it was like, you push through this, I'm contracted, I'll think about that in when my contract ends. But now it's like an open slather. So if a club feels the need, they need to fill a hole, and they see a bit of a vulnerability in a player or being disgruntled, not even that really, just target a player, throw a deal in front of him and kind of see what happens with it. Plant a seed, dangle a carrot. It's extraordinary how that's changed so quickly.
Now, of course, we want you to get involved on Trade Mornings. Jump on the talkback line for Imar Insurance, the tradies mate. Call 13-IMAR, 1300 2355 48. 1300 2355 48. Yeah, so Treloar is one we're going to follow very, very closely. And this one is really gathering some momentum. And I heard Sam Edmund talking about this with Gary and Tim this morning. Josh Dunkley becomes such a key player at the Bulldogs. He's got 2 years to go. But your former club, the Bombers, are confident they can get him across the line.
I think we're all astonished when his name was thrown out. So, again, off the back end of what I've just said, a guy that you thought, you know, was fully committed to the Bulldogs, Bulldogs fully committed to him. He was arguably, you know, an untouchable. I know he's had a difficult year in a sense with his injury and not playing or finding the continuity that he had, and off the back end of a great year, or probably a great last couple of years, to be honest. So, and someone that, an area where Essendon need to get better. I think they've identified that, but literally identify, I don't know, maybe there's a conversation that was had between, you know, Adrian Dodoro, and he's close with Dunkley's family. He's got a friend that's close to him, and he gets a whisper that he's a little bit, you know, it's so, you'd love to know, now being in the media, you'd love to know how this has come about.
It just hasn't come about out of nothing though,
correct.
Has it?
I don't think you can, Adrian sitting there, and Essendon sitting there going, who do we target?
Yeah.
And it's, let's land on Dunkley, and let's just, you know, let's throw the bait out there, plant the seed and see what comes of it. I don't think that's the case. If that's the case, you know, you'd be, no disrespect to Dunkley, but you'd be targeting a few others if
was
the case.
Correct.
So there has to be something that has happened that we don't know about for them to get to this point, for his name to be thrown up.
Yeah, so second in the best and fairest last year, syndesmosis injury this year, but All-Australian squad last year as well. And from what Essendon need, he would be ideal for the Bombers. So that's an interesting one. So 2 years left on his contract. As we mentioned, Treloar is contracted to 2025. Now, this one's a little bit different. Jesse Hogan is contracted for next year, but all the noises out of Perth suggest that he's certainly no certainty to be at the Dockers next year. How much interest do you think other clubs would have in Jesse Hogan? The talent versus, I guess, some of the red flags we've seen, since he's gone back to Perth, when we thought that would be the thing that might settle him
exactly.
down.
Yeah, exactly. So it's a weird transition about, you know, Melbourne supporters would know his reasonings for leaving. It was all about, you know, getting home. He'd obviously battled some issues prior to leaving, but him going there thinking or feeling that would actually help him in his progress towards feeling better and getting better. And I don't think that's panned out. I think there's just been a number of issues since he's been back home. And now, again, there hasn't been a lot said, but whether it's he feels like he needs to get out of there or the club actually feel like they're now headed in a different direction. So it's we haven't got enough information, but if I'm another club, I'm probably seeing too many red flags, aren't you? There's just too many things to suggest that, you know, he's still got some issues, still going through some issues. He's not in a position to actually produce his best football. So that lure of the talent is kind of just nullified or, you know, not attractive enough for another team to really go hard at him. If you could possibly get him for next to nothing,
yep,
then maybe. But it's just, for mine, unfortunately, there's too many red flags. And
another spanner is his body hasn't been reliable either.
Yeah. So that, you know, I think that ties in with his mind and the issues he's got there. So unfortunately for Jesse, it's not looking overly bright, to be honest. So whether it's one more year at Fremantle.
One more year, yep.
And then what that looks like after that if he was to stay at Fremantle.
Well, your former coach, Ross Lyon, said the other day, well, Jesse should just stay, back himself, and then the future looks after itself.
Yeah. But we don't know enough, do we? So it might be the Chalor scenario that Fremantle, like, well, no, whilst he's still got a bit of value, he's still got one more year in his contract, ability to free up some extra coin. I'm sure they've got plenty there. But they're in a position to try and palm him off whilst he's still got a little bit of value, because if it keeps heading like it has the last couple of years, the end of his contract next year, if they wanted to part ways, they wouldn't. There's no value there.
No, there's not. Now, another key forward, Ben Brown. It's been a bit of a fall from grace from Ben Brown. Looks like he's going to move for a second or third round draft pick, even though there's a change of coach. He's still going to be on the move. What's your view on Ben? I've been staggered at the slows on Ben Brown because of one year. He's had some injuries, and in the way they were playing football, he wasn't going to be much good this year.
No, not only the slows, but just how it all eventuated from them saying pretty early that he's gettable, he's tradable, or, you know, you won't be here next year, essentially putting all their cards on the table and then shooting themselves in the foot with having no value or leverage off Ben Brown. So yeah, no, it's a funny one. It's really extraordinary to think the years that he's produced, and then, as you're alluding to, how kind of cold and slow it is for Ben Brown. I think he needs to be the second or third forward.
You don't think he can be the main man?
I don't think so. I think he's a little bit too one-dimensional.
So that does that mean Melbourne's not a great fit for him then? Because he would be the main forward at Melbourne.
Yeah, he would. But I don't think there's too many other options, are there?
No. Well, Collingwood's had a sniff around.
Yeah. So it's kind of he just must be in a head spin, because where he was last year, I know they've all struggled this year. But even from North Melbourne's perspective, now the new coach comes in, he hasn't got the option to, no, well, I actually think we can make this work.
Yeah,
and
correct.
I like Ben Brown. And now he's, you know, so there's as a player, you want options. And for Ben Brown, it's probably not too many options, or he thought he'd have more options based on what's happened the last couple of months.
Should Essendon look at him? Would he be a good fit at Essendon given Joe's going?
I think it's a short-term fix. Yeah, so Essendon got to make a decision on whether they go down the short-term Band-Aid fix.
That wouldn't be a good move, would it?
I don't think so. Mm. So whether they look to more securing a younger tall and then working with him to be, you know, the 10-year player that, you know, we all hope that every drafter is. But, yeah, I think the longer-term thing is a better play for Essendon.
Speaking of falls from grace, I mean, the end of 2018 final series, Tom McDonald's stocks couldn't have been higher. But it's been a real struggle, you know, firstly with injury and then with form. Two questions. Is he better to be a forward or a defender from here on in? And if you're a club, say the Giants has been one that's sort of been linked to Tom. Is he a player of interest?
I think he should be, but I think his versatility is one of his appealing things. So whether he's a forward or back, I'm a bit on the fence with that. But I think when he – does it coincide with Jesse Hogan leaving? So Jesse was the number one forward and demanded the number one defender. Then you had who else was down there at the time?
Well, they had Wiedemann and they had Hannon.
Wiedemann.
I think Hogan and him was a good combination.
Yeah, so McDonald kind of got the second or third defender. Yeah. which suited him a bit better. So he's not that power forward, or the Jesse Hogan or the Tom Hawkins would.
Or he's not a monster.
No, that's right. So he's a lead up player. So him to use his agility, his aerobic fitness, that was his real strength. So he hasn't been able to do that because he's had to play slightly a different role because of Jesse Hogan leaving and Wiedemann quite not maturing and progressing like that hope. So it's, again, he's, I think, in the right team with the right people around him playing that second or third role as a forward or even as a defender. I don't see why he couldn't turn himself into a really good defender based on his athleticism.
He's done it before.
Yeah, that's right. So, and even a wing role as a tall wing. So I think that's one of his, the appealing things with McDonald is his agility, versatility, that he's got a number, he can play a number of roles.
Now, Jeremy Cameron, we know, is going to get to Geelong. It's about how he gets there, given the Giants can match the offer that Geelong will throw at him. Now, as the Giants said the other day through Dave Matthews, if players like Treloar and Scheel were worth two first-round draft picks, Jeremy should be worth more.
But the climate change, hasn't it?
So what, how do you see this one playing out? Let's assume that they match the offer, therefore a trade has to go. Is it? I mean, Geelong got three first-round picks to play with. Is it as simple as two first-round picks gets the job done?
Well, it is for GWS, I think, but probably not for Geelong. So based on that complicated system of the compensation and the length of the deal and the money, and, you know, we've seen Sydney get Buddy Franklin and Hawthorn get compensated a
19,
late
pick
first,
19,
that second round.
Yeah. Yeah, start of the second. End of the first.
End of the first. So it's crazy to think, but that's where the system's a little bit complicated. So for GWS, it is straightforward. Here's the picks. Give us a deal. But for Geelong, it's not. So you're going to get a bit of kickback. And there's plenty to play out. So not only him, we obviously talk about Joey Danaher, but the way Essendon deal with that. So there's those two in particular, I think there'll be a bit of kickback from clubs and a bit of to and fro because of, you know, the compensation and the money side of it and all that kind of thing and what may come out of it.
Adam Saad, should it be as simple as pick seven for Adam Saad?
I think so. He's, you know, he's on the, arguably on the verge of maybe in the...
He's been close to the squad a couple of times. All Australian,
top, yeah. All Australian, top 40, top three in the third best in the fairest. Best and fairest. Yeah.
Doesn't miss games.
Yeah. Durable, one of the more exciting attacking, like, I'm talking great halfbacks in today's game. So it's a big loss for Essendon. We talked about it. It's a big loss. And they've got a pretty big holder feel there. I know there's, you know, Jordan Ridley's coming up, but they're different types of players. He's a player that Essendon targeted and needed and wanted and almost not built a game plan around him, but the game plan suited him to a sense. So I think he feels like that it's changed the game plan. He's not getting to play to his strengths. He's asked to do a slightly different role or play more defensive. So it's still a big loss, but I think it's pretty fair what he's got to offer and what he'll offer Carlton.
Yep. Isaac Smith, 2-year deal on the table from Hawthorn, which seems pretty good for the way that Hawthorn have treated some older players. So if you're Isaac Smith that's been at that club for a decade, do you just take the 2 years, or if you're getting offered 3 years from others, do you have to look at that seriously?
I think you have to look at it seriously. I think this is why it's taking him so long and it hasn't been as clear cut. It's almost created more confusion for him because I think if Hawthorn offer him a 1-year deal, I think it's easier to make a decision.
Yeah, two years is interesting.
So particularly if Melbourne are offering three, that's significant as a 31-year-old. So I think that's where it's hard for him now to make a decision, and he's got to make a decision, and we don't know what that is, but whether it is, you know, about loyalty and sticking with Hawthorn through what would be, you know, a rebuild phase essentially and not play finals, or go to a club like Melbourne with great security that, you know, finish off playing finals, which is, I think, it's alluring for a player that's achieved so much, been part of success. Yep. He'll go down as, you know, great Hawthorn player, contributor to the footy club, been there, done that kind of thing, and let's have a fresh start. Jordan Lewis has been big on it, obviously in the same scenario, so if it works out, another Hawthorn player leaves to go to Melbourne, there's kind of a great kind of path there that he's talked about and how much he enjoyed doing it. So threw out to, you know, his personal preference and what he wants to achieve in his last few years of footy.
Yeah, Joey Danaher, you touched on him, and we'll talk plenty about Joe over the next few weeks, I'm sure, and you know him better than most. An interesting one, a player of a lot of talent, probably been a little bit inconsistent so far, is Alia Alia. And Port Adelaide's certainly been on the radar there. Given where the Swans are and their build, and, you know, young key position players aren't easy to find, would you be reluctant to let go on Alia?
I think so. I think it's, I don't know, where does it fit in at Port?
Do they need another tall defender?
Yeah, that's what we're thinking. Yeah. Or do they actually have another role in mind for him?
Maybe.
So it's kind of a weird one.
It wouldn't be ruck, because they've got plenty of options in the ruck.
No, that's right. Or a second key, third.
Yeah, forward. Maybe. Well, I mean, Westhoff's that swing man that's going, but they've got Marshall.
Yeah,
they've
Marshall. They've got Dixon. Who's still developing.
Yeah,
so,
and they got the resting ruck.
Yeah, so
up
it
there.
Just seems a bit odd. So whether they just want to add a bit of depth, but again, it's in that category of a guy that's contracted a club, then throwing a 4-year deal in front of a guy because they see a bit of vulnerability there, or how's this one coming out? That's what you want to know those details. So, it's a little bit strange on all fronts, but for a player, it's great to have options. Yeah. So a security 4-year deal for him is terrific. So he'll be what will it do? It'll force Sydney's hand.
Just correct. Yeah.
Where do you Alia and his management group go to Sydney? And so where do you see his future? So if it's not a 3-year deal, an extension, whatever it may look like, then he's got this option. So it's a pretty good place for a player.
You look at the finals though, from Port Adelaide's point of view. Trent McKenzie's playing on Hawkins.
Yeah, true.
I mean, that's not sustainable, is it?
Well, did it this year. Why can't he do it again? Mm. He put on a bit of extra size. Yeah. I think
he had a fantastic year. Yeah. It's one of the great stories of the year.
Yeah,
but they just look undersized. I mean, Cleary's not a big man that gets big jobs.
No,
they'd like
right.
to seem to have Jonas as the third man playing on the Dustin Martin sizes. So
Cleary plays more a bit of that drop off the high.
Yep.
High half forward, but yeah, maybe that's a good point. Maybe it's to add the stability there in case, because if they do get an injury, if one of those three guys, then who do they go to? Or do they see Alia now ahead of McKenzie, and McKenzie goes back in the queue?
Yep.
And they've still got a little bit of depth there.
Yep, gives them some depth, absolutely. So they're the 10 names we'll really be watching for the next 3 weeks, but let's be honest, there's probably another 90 on the market now.
We'll talk about them.
And we'll talk about them all. So get involved. Give us a ring on the IMAR Insurance open line with your thoughts. Also, get involved on the social media networks at Trade Radio. Send in your tweets with feedback.